Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Nandu Dham Ki Jai, Gaur Jivana Tulsi, Vajra Devi Ki Jai, Nandu Vare Vaishnava Ki Jai, Samapata Vata Vare Ki Jai, Lok Premanandi, All Glories to Some of the Bodhis, All Glories to Some of the Bodhis, All Glories to Some of the Bodhis, All Glories to Sri Guru Ji Gauranga, All Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo
Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Prachavane Nardashe Krishna Varivasa Tadesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Veda Gadara Shri Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Read from Srimad Bhagavatam Genesis chapter 5 verse 23 Nasam Nisam Yaputranam
Nasam Nisam Yaputranam
Narada Chila Salanam
Narada Chila Salanam
Anvatapyata Kapsochan
Anvatapyata Kapsochan
Sukhajastam Sucham Padam
Sukhajastam Sucham Padam
Nasam Nisam Yaputranam
Nasam Nisam Yaputranam Narada Chila Salanam
Nasam, loss, Nishamya, hearing, Putranam, of his sons, Narada, from Narada, Shila Salanam, who were the best of well-behaved persons, Anvatapyata, suffered, Ka, Prajapati Daksha, Sochan, lamenting, Suprajastam, having 10,000 sons, Sucham, of lamentation, Padam, position. Translation, the Haryasvasa sons of Prajapati Daksha were very well-behaved, cultured sons, but unfortunately, because of the instructions of Narada Muni, they deviated from the order of their father. When Daksha heard this news, which was brought to him by Narada Muni, he began to lament. Although he was the father of such good sons, he had lost them all. Certainly this was lamentable. For part, the Haryasvasa sons of Prajapati Daksha were certainly well-behaved, learned, and advanced, and according to the order of their father, they went to perform austerities to beget good sons of their family. But Narada Muni took advantage of their good behavior and culture to properly direct them not to be involved with this material world, but to use their culture and knowledge to end their material affairs. The Haryasvas abided by the order of Narada Muni, but when news of this was brought to Prajapati Daksha, the Prajapati, instead of being happy with the actions of Narada Muni, was extremely sorrowful. Similarly, we're trying to bring as many young men as possible to the Krishna conscious movement for their ultimate benefit, but the parents of the young men joining this movement being very sorry are lamenting and making counter-propaganda. Of course, Prajapati Daksha did not make propaganda against Narada Muni, but later, as we shall see, Daksha cursed Narada Muni for his benevolent activities. This is the way of materialistic life. A materialistic father and mother want to engage their sons in begetting children, striving for improved economic conditions and rotting in materialistic life. They are not unhappy when their children become spoiled, useless citizens, but they lament when they join the Krishna conscious movement to achieve the ultimate goal of life. This animosity between parents and the Krishna conscious movement has existed since time immemorial. Even Narada Muni was condemned, not to speak of others. Nevertheless, Narada Muni never gave up his mission. to deliver as many fallen souls as possible, he continues, playing his musical instrument and vibrating the transcendental sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation, the Haryasvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were very well-behaved, cultured sons, but unfortunately, because of the instruction of Narada Muni, they deviated from the order of their father. When Daksha heard this news, which was brought to him by Narada Muni, he began to lament. Although he was the father of such good sons, he had lost them all. Certainly, this was lamentable. So, the father has several duties. In this case, Prajapati Daksha had the duty of populating the earth, and therefore he wanted his sons to do this. The other responsibility of the father is to make sure that the progeny develop spiritually. And that is exactly what Narada Muni did by preaching to them. Consequently, the sons disobeyed their father and they left the house and they didn't propagate any families, and instead they full-time began to practice spiritual life. So in this way they disappointed their father. Of course, you understand that Prajapati Daksha is not on the highest level, even though he's also empowered by the Supreme Lord. And consequently, his attachment for his children and his duties in the material world were greater than his realization of spiritual life. And therefore, he lamented this. However, on the other hand, we'll see that a true responsible parent should rejoice when their children develop spiritually, because this means they end birth and death in the material world. And everyone else in the material world is doing the opposite. So it is great good fortune if a person takes to the spiritual path and pursues that seriously. The whole purpose of the social system of Varnashram is to bring the person to the point where he gets liberated from the material world. So most people, unfortunately, get caught up in the art of Dharma and Kama, and they forget about the moksha aspect, and they never encourage that. And if it happens, if somebody goes for moksha, then they lament. But actually, the whole goal of all the other art of Dharma and Kama, all of that, the final goal is ultimately moksha. This seems a little contradictory because, especially artha and kama, are directly leading to material attachment and enjoyment in the material world. Dharma acts as an intermediary between spiritual life and material life and tries to regulate the material tendencies by rules and regulations. So this is the safeguard of artha and kama. If we have dharma, and then it leads eventually to moksha. If we don't have that, then of course it doesn't lead. If we have an artha kama, then it doesn't lead anywhere. It leads to hellish life. So when you have dharma, then it leads to sattva-gun, and eventually to understanding one is not the body, one is the soul, and then one can get liberation from the material world. So that is how much the Varnashram system gives us. Of course, Lord Chaitanya rejected that system in his discussions with Ramananda Roy and discussions with the followers of Madhvacharya. And he said that higher than the Varnashram system is the fifth goal, that is prema. It is not moksha which is the goal, simply to understand you're not the body and get liberated from birth and death. The real goal for the living entity is to develop love of the Supreme Lord, or prema. And this is quite distinct from moksha, which is simply getting rid of material bondage. So, prema means that the jiva develops, manifests, cultivates attraction for the Supreme Lord, devotion for the Supreme Lord. But that is higher than simply getting rid of material bondage. So, of course, even to get moksha or liberation, that is better than sitting in the material world. So of the four purusharthas, artha, dana, and kama, and moksha, moksha is considered better than the others because it ends birth and death. However, higher than that is prema. So if a person goes for moksha, that should not be discouraged. But if a person goes for prema, that should not be discouraged also. That should be encouraged more than anything else, because that's the highest goal. So not simply ending birth and death, but establishing a relationship with the Supreme Lord. That actually is the goal in life. So any parent that teaches that to the children is considered a proper parent. A parent that doesn't do that is not considered a parent, because they cannot deliver their children from birth and death. If the parents don't do that and someone else does that, that person should be encouraged and not discouraged. Here we see the Prajapati Daksha curse Narada Muni, which is impossible in one sense, because Narada Muni is much superior to Prajapati Daksha, since he's a Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord and can't really be cursed by anybody. Nevertheless, Daksha, out of his anger, because Narada Muni had instigated his sons to leave their home and disobey his order, therefore he cursed him that he could never stay in one place and has to wander around everywhere, which is not a curse at all, because Narada Muni automatically does that anyway. He's not attached to any place in the material world. So, Daksha showed his anger at Narada Muni because of his disappointment that his sons did not obey him and instead obeyed Narada. But a proper parent should understand that the higher instruction is actually better. And one should encourage the children and encourage that person who gives the instruction when they are able to deliver their children. So somehow or other, the parents have to think of the ultimate welfare of the child, not the immediate material benefits and whatever that they aim for. So, therefore we see there's a big contrast here in sense of duties. One is the duties outlined in the Varnashram system, which includes obedience to parents, etc. The other duty is to understand the whole goal, which is not artha, dharma, and kama, but rather moksha and prema. So, if a person chooses the higher path, he should not be condemned for that. Rather, they should be encouraged. And the parents should never think of only the lower things, artha, dharma, and kama. They should not think in those terms at all. They should understand there's a higher purpose also. So, of course, the different goals are not separate. It's not that we have to give up everything to pursue moksha and prema, though it looks as if it is, because ultimately one gives up the material world. So, of course, in the path of moksha, ultimately one does have to give up everything. In the process of jnana and yoga, one cannot be materially attached. One has to give up all family attachments and whatever. The process of bhakti is a little different, because one can give up or not give up, and one can still practice the process. So one can be a grihastha or a vanaprastha or a brahmachari or a sannyasi, or not even in the varnashram system, and one can still practice bhakti, and it still has effect. So therefore Bhagavan says that even the svapacha, the dog-eater, outcast, who's not even in the social system, if he chants the name of the Lord, he's superior to anyone in the whole varnashram system. So in other words, bhakti is independent of all these different processes. So, in any condition, one can practice bhakti and then finally achieve prema. So that is the benefit of devotional service. So one does not have to give up everything. One can practice from any position, though eventually, because of complete attachment to the Lord, one becomes completely detached from the material world. But that is a gradual process. So though it looks like there's contrary elements working here, One can live in the material world and follow the duties of Artha, Dharma, and Kama and still perform bhakti. If one is going for moksha, it is very difficult to do that. One has to start giving up Artha, Dharma, and Kama. In the process of bhakti, to some degree, one can hold on to these things. Eventually, of course, one will give them up. So, that is why the process of bhakti is recommended over other processes, because it has a flexibility in its execution. So, in this case, of course, the haryasvas were quite radical, and instead of doing bhakti while doing their duties to their father, which is possible, they renounced their father and their family, etc., and they went off for full spiritual life. So this is why he became upset. But technically speaking, it is not necessary to do so. One could perform the activities of bhakti and at the same time pursue the other duties. And that example is set by the great Manus, and the kings, and Ambarish, and Dhruva, and others. As long as they're proper parents. So Bhagavatam says a father is a father, mother is a mother, etc. If they can deliver their children from birth and death. If they lead you unto hell, why we should give respect? So therefore, every statement in the Vedic literature has a purpose, but at the same time we have to see the context and not blindly follow one. One doesn't preach to the offensive people. Rather, to those who are opposed to bhakti, we can expose them to the chanting of the name or hearing the name, etc. We don't give details. This particular case of Narada Muni and Daksha is a little special because, like others, like Indra or whatever, who also commits offense against Krishna and whatever, and against the people of Raja, like putting rain on them, etc. They're all sort of special cases in which there is some arrangement of the Lord here for all of this to happen. So we can't really blame the particular persons also, even though they may act in a very negative way sometimes, like cursing or whatever. Narada Muni also curses that in the pastime of the disappearance of Krishna when the grandsons insult the sages or whatever. But we have to take this also as some sort of arrangement of the Supreme Lord, and not particularly that they were actually offensive.